The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, and Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, and I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you in everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel and of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The day of Pentecost is and certainly a day to celebrate. We recognize it as sort of the birthday of the church. And we rejoice in the promise that God's and Spirit is sent to the disciples and also to us, that we ourselves have received these gifts of God. But this is an intriguing story that points us to other things as well. The early stories that we find in Genesis are an interesting collection of a little of this and a little of that, and certainly before the 12th and chapter, they all have a tendency to be a little bit more and speculative. Now, certainly, there are parts of this that are historical in basis. We know there is a plain out there some place in what might be known as the land of Shinar, and there is remains of a tower of some sort, and it was made with bricks that had been burnt. And so is this the Tower of Babel? We don't know for sure, but it perhaps could be. But this is more of a just-so story, such as and Rudyard Kipling might tell. And something like a child who says, "So, Grandpa, why does a giraffe have a long neck?" And the answer in a just-so story would be, because they have to reach up so high into the above them to reach the green leaves that are in the trees, that their neck has stretched out to such a degree, and that's how giraffes have long necks. That's all they need to know, and we go on to something else. This could be the same kind of thing if and someone were to ask themselves, so if this is after the flood, and everybody who came out of the ark spoke the same language, and everyone on earth would speak the same language too, why are there so many languages around? And this could be an explanation. Well, there are some more interesting things at work here in this text. These are people who are in the land of Shinar. These were not known as those who might be followers of God. And we have this interesting little thing here of God who sort of gets worried that they might actually succeed at this. What if they were to build a tower so high that they could actually reach the windows of heaven? I still remember one of my professors at LBI who would explain this as he's sort of pulling himself up to peek into the window of God's house, because we sure don't want God to send us another flood without us knowing about it. So we better keep an eye on God. God, of course, being a jealous God, said, well, we can't let them win, so I'm going to fix it so they can't communicate. And therefore, all of these different languages. But there's more yet. Here it is, a people who say to themselves, we will make of ourselves, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower with and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make for a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Cities are important, and God knows it. Most of the people that we, of our earth live in cities. Some are large and some are small, but they pull themselves together into communities. Some are quite large, and Jesus knows this. Jesus cares about cities, and certainly God does. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you would not. We take great pride in our cities. There are some who say that as well as the mariners seem to be doing in this season, which seems to be a miracle in itself, right there. And as well as we expect that the Seahawks are going to do, we will not have a real city here until we get our Sonics back again. Then we can claim that we are a city worth paying attention to. Well, I don't know if that's exactly true. Could be. But we do take pride in these things, perhaps at times a little too much. And there's one more thing, that they are going to make a name for themselves. Throughout Scripture, names are given, but they are not taken by the one who is named. They are given to them by someone else. It's the kind of thing that God brings the animals before an Adam. And as these animals come along, Adam gives them names. This is what they shall be called. And in doing so shows that he has that authority to name the animals and to describe them and to keep them in their right place. One of the questions that gets asked when one is expecting is, what are you going to name your child? I tried to help Sister Claire. She was with a few suggestions. She didn't pay attention to any of them. I don't know why that would be. But to give a name is something important. Some of the people in the scriptures have had their names changed because they, as people, have changed too. Notably, Jacob, who is known as the cheat or the manipulator, the supplanter, the trickster, becomes known as Israel, the one who has seen God. That's quite a name. But here, they are going to make a name for themselves. They don't need anyone else to tell them who they are. We're going to forge ahead here and do this on our own. And the whole thing falls to disaster. The languages are changed. They can't get along. They don't know what's going on. They can't communicate with one another. And they become isolated and spread out over the face of the entire earth. We might think that that becomes the curse, but it just might be that that's what God intended. Acts is not the story of how God fixes Genesis. It may be the story of how God fulfills Genesis. Because at that point in Jerusalem, there they were, the disciples were in one room, gathered together praying, and the Spirit comes, the sound of a great wind and tongues of fire and all of that. But on the outside, devout Jews had come. And what did they hear? They heard the mighty acts of God in their own language. Now, it turns out they still didn't know everything. They asked themselves, what does this mean? All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? It would take Peter, who had explained to them in the words of Joel that God was going to send God's Spirit upon all flesh, young, old, men, women, even slaves, even my slaves, Peter says, referring to God, even my slaves are going to prophesy and to proclaim the good news in such a way that people are going to know. What do you suppose, if you were in Jerusalem to visit, would happen when you went home? And someone asked, so how was your trip? See anything new or interesting? And you would explain them. You wouldn't believe what I saw. I heard the mighty acts of God in the language that we speak. And from that, God's word would be sent out over the face of the whole earth. It is a reminder that we as the church are involved in that same task. It's still the season of Pentecost for us as well. And we too will be sent out over the face of the entire earth. For some of us, in the week to come, it will be going as far as downtown to our office, or perhaps up to, a coffee shop in Ballard, or I don't know where you're going to go in the week to come, but you'll go, and you too will have the mighty acts of God to talk about, particularly in the person of Jesus Christ, who loves us. The point is not that God wanted to mess things up. The point was that this is intended for the entire earth, that everyone who is in great need will be able to hear the mighty acts of God for them, as indeed we will hear. You too will hear as you come to the front. This is my body given for you, and this is my blood shed for you. And you have the opportunity, wherever you go in the week to come, to be a part of this and Pentecost. And we do it. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.